Edwards and Dick Bentley are back with June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, Tony Eden, the Polka Dots, and the BBC Review Orchestra, all inviting you to take it from here.
Bentley, I've been giving your theatre some thought lately.
Have you then?
Yes, it's about your opening production.
Yes.
I can't help feeling that a one-man show would be a good idea. Economical and entertaining.
There's a coincidence. I've been thinking the same thing. A one-man show means no scenery.
No costumes.
No orchestra.
No actors.
Yes, an evening with Dick Bentley.
No audience. What I had in mind was an evening with Jimmy Edwards.
No dice. What could I put on the bill? Dick Bentley fills the stage with Jim? Oh, no, Jimmy, no. If there's going to be a one-man show, I'm the man.
What could you do for 2 hours at a stretch? Well, I mean, you need versatility, talent, personality, a euphonium. In short, Jimmy Edwards.
Jimmy, if you give a one-man show...
Excuse me, boys.
What is it?
Would you be Dick Bentley?
Not for a pension, no. I wouldn't.
Leave my financial affairs out of this. Madam, I am Dick Bentley.
Oh, I didn't expect anyone so young.
How much does he pay you to say that, then, old girl?
I've never met this woman before. Now, what can I do for you, madam?
Well, I'd like you to meet Irving Powers, the celebrated character, actor, and monologist.
Oh, good heavens. Is he still alive?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen him for 5 minutes. I left him outside. I'll call him.
I wish you would, yes.
Daddy? Daddy?
Go on, Daddy. Fisca, coming, Alice.
What an effort.
Very pleased to meet you, Mr. Bentley.
Oh, no, Daddy, dear. This is me, Alice.
Oh, is it? That's funny. I thought you were Alice.
No, I'm Jimmy Edwards.
Oh,
and I'm Dick Bentley. What did you want to see me about?
Yes.
You want to appear in Mr. Bentley's theater, Daddy.
Oh, do I?
Yes.
Oh, all right, if you say so. You got a part for me, then?
Well, we're not planning on presenting Back to Methuselah.
Oh, no.
The fact is, we've decided to do a one-man show.
Oh, good. Just up my street. I do an evening with Dickens.
Oh,
I'm
going
to drop Shelley.
Yes, here you are, Daddy. Now, just slip them on. Look, easy does it.
Yes.
Your shawl,
yes.
And your beard,
right.
And a hook nose.
Right. Now, who am I?
Little Nell.
Little Nell with a beard?
Well, it could be Little Nell as an old man.
No, I had to cut out Little Nell. They said I was too sexy.
Oh, I bet you were, yeah.
Try again.
Tiny Tim.
No.
No, of course it's not Tiny. It's, Alice, who is it?
Well, I don't know, Daddy, but I've always thought it's your best.
Yes.
Anyway, it was very good for a man of your age.
Yes, good. When do you want me to start?
There's nothing we can offer you at the moment.
Yeah, you haven't seen Marley's Goat.
Oh, no, we've seen you, haven't we?
No.
That's the next best thing.
Alice, me sheet and me
chain.
Oh,
no, he's going to dress up again. Oh, dear.
I am Jacob Marley.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. We'll let you know.
I haven't finished yet. There. What do you think? How was I?
Horrified.
Thank you.
But I think I can offer you a job.
Bentley, you can't present an evening with Jacob Marley.
I know that, but I want the Richard Bentley Theatre to have everything that other theatres have. And tonight, we're one stage further forward.
What do you mean?
We've got ourselves a theatre ghost. Now we welcome the Polka Dots.
Get your veil and get your duster. Get your Yenfer goggles when the winds are guster. Keep your Harvard gown firmly belted down when you're out in your Stanley steamer. In a gale, we never bluster, 'cause we're told we get that old familiar luster.
If you're dressed in style, everyone will smile when you're out in your Stanley steamer. Honk, 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 honk. The donkey used to have his charm, but he's looking at us with alarm. For it looks like he's back on the farm. But if you fail with your combustor, then your speed's gonna need a new adjuster. And you must be just the one we trust. Or we won't step inside, no, we won't take the right that you plan in your Stanley steamer. That you plan in your Stanley steamer. In your Stanley steamer automobile. Honk, 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 honk. The tandem bike has had its day. If you're riding one, you'll find that they poke along in an obsolete way. You're full of pride, anticipation, like a child who has a wild imagination. And you wanna ride inside of the latest motor deal. Wanna sit behind the wheel with the man in the Stanley steamer. With the man in the Stanley steamer. In the Stanley steamer automobile. Mobile. Automobile.
Now we present our newspaper of the air, the Sunday Type. As usual, first with the news. Take this week's front page story.
English cotton banned in Japan.
A tour of Japan is scheduled for Billy Cotton.
Films by Dillis Leger.
Last week, I went along to the Regal, Leicester Square, to see the evil-eyed, sex-mad monster. He's been the manager there for some time.
Book reviews by Binder.
I have just read a new book with 200 of the hottest pages I've ever read. It's called Recipes for Indian Curry.
And so to our main feature. And this week we disclose the personal life of a business tycoon. As we bring you a glimpse of the financial jungle in the streets of the city, we present Cheapside Story. This is the story of James Price.
I am one of the stock exchange prices.
A financial wizard with the luck of a Midas. Anything he touched turned to gold. James Price controlled his empire from a palatial office block in Cheapside.
All right, Waterhouse, clinch the deal at $5 million. Goodbye. Hello, Briggs. Did you accept my offer of $3 million? Good. I'll send you a postal order straight away. Hello. Oh, Bicknell, I have your letter. I can lend you $2 million at 5%. Okay? Right.
Price?
Miss Rutherford, I gave you 6 months' tea money yesterday. Where's my threepence change?
I put it in your piggy bank, sir.
Good. Miss Rutherford, is Mr. Bridgewater there?
Oh,
he is. Good. Send him in.
Good morning, sir.
Come in, Bridgewater. Sit down.
Thank you, sir.
Bridgewater, did you see this in the Financial Gazette this morning? Here. Look here. Associated Yachts are going out of business.
Well, I'm not surprised, sir. Their sales have been dropping off for a long time.
I think I'll put in a takeover bid for that firm. Send the usual letter. James Price requests the pleasure of your company.
Very good. And by the way, sir, that check from the rubber people, it keeps bouncing.
Oh. Right. I'll put that in the hands of my solicitor, Mr. Truffitt.
Yes, sir.
Miss Rutherford, do you know Truffitt's number?
Yes, sir. 1876-009.
Good heavens, is he inside again? Oh, well, never mind.
Oh, Mr. Price, there's a lady on the phone for you. A Mrs. Price.
Oh, put her on. Hello? Mrs. Price? What a strange coincidence. We have the same name.
I know. I'm your wife.
Oh, that Mrs. Price. Well, Deirdre, how are you? Seems ages since I saw you.
You saw me this morning. As a matter of fact, you even spoke to me.
Oh, did I? What did I say?
You said, Pass the marmalade. Don't you remember?
Well, look, dear, do you know I'm so involved in business affairs? I mean, it's not that I don't notice you about the house. It's just that I don't realize you're there.
You don't have to explain. I know only too well that you put business first and I'm just a second fiddle. James, I've got to talk to you.
Dear, really, I'm far too busy. Incidentally, while you're on the line, there'll be one more for dinner tonight. My confidential secretary, Bridgewater. We have some work to do. Goodbye. You hear that, Bridgewater?
Yes, sir. I was listening on the extension. I didn't realize you were married, sir.
Yes, she's the second Mrs. Price, actually. My first wife, Ruth. She left me, you know.
I thought so, sir. One does get the impression you're ruthless.
Bridgewater, I am the chairman of this company, am I not?
Yes, sir.
And you are one of my employees, are you not?
Yes, sir.
Then kindly remember, Jim does the funnies. Now come along, jump to it. I want those market reports ready this evening.
Yes, sir.
Miss Rutherford, order the rolls, will you? I'm starving.
I must compliment you on an excellent meal, Mrs. Price.
Oh, thank you. Do have some more chocolate sauce on your souffle.
Bridgewater, I've been going over the report and accounts of the Amalgamated Steel Corporation.
Yes, sir.
James, can't you ever forget work?
Now, dearie, really.
You treat me as though I were a piece of property.
A very charming one, if I may say so.
Bridgewater, stop looking over the property.
Perhaps he's looking at me as a woman. That's something you never did.
I asked you to marry me, didn't I?
No, you didn't ask me to marry you. You proposed a merger.
Really, dear, it's too tiresome. I will not have these private matters discussed in front of my confidential secretary. Take it up with me later.
When, James? When?
I don't know. You'll have to make an appointment.
Oh, this is the last straw.
Mrs. Price, please, not the chocolate sauce.
Oh, oh.
Sir, you've got it all over your face.
Oh, I wish your business associates could see you now.
That's enough of your sauce. I'll go and get cleaned up.
Mr. Bridgewater, I'm sorry about this little incident.
Oh, it's quite all right. Tell me, is this the first time this sort of thing has happened?
Yes, usually I throw custard. I don't know if you can understand. You see, Mr. Bridgewater, I am a woman.
I had noticed. May I ask you something personal? Why did you marry him?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose I was attracted to him because he was a magnet. I might have known how it was going to be right from our wedding day.
Would you feel better if you told me about it?
Well, I wore a sweet little gown, trimmed with gold.
Didn't he say you looked beautiful?
No. He said I was a gilt-edged investment.
Please, please, don't cry. Here, put your head on my shoulder.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm afraid my tears have wet your shirt.
Don't worry. It's dripped dry. Mrs. Price, tell me something. Do you love him now?
Oh, yes. I suppose in a funny way I do. Just now, when he was covered in chocolate, he looked rather pathetic. And I thought, beneath it all, there was a soft center. Oh, if only he'd just said... Oh.
Well, that's got the worst of it off.
Oh, James, I didn't want you to see me crying.
Well, I'm glad you are. It's reminded me. Bridgewater, get out that report on Associated Handkerchiefs Limited.
Mr. Price, how could you at a time like this? I refuse.
You what, Bridgewater?
I said I refuse. Now, sit down and listen. It's about time you had a report on your own affairs. Don't butt in. You're going to hear what I have to say, you big, fat, bald-headed tycoon. You have no heart. It's just a ticker tape. You're so wrapped up in big business that you're losing the most precious asset you've got, the woman who loved you, the woman who'd do anything for you, the woman you don't even know exists. Take a good look at her. Yes, James Price, this is your wife.
Deirdre, is this true? I mean, he wasn't just making it up as he went along. Do you love me?
Yes, James, I do.
What a selfish, arrogant, egotistical, pompous old fool I am.
Here, here.
Shut up! Deirdre,
Is it too late? Can't we make a fresh start?
We can try.
Then we'll take a long holiday. A 6-month cruise. Just the two of us.
Oh, James. Oh, but darling, 6 months is a long time. What about those business interests of yours?
Yes, sir. All those companies to be run.
They're bound to wonder what you're doing.
What shall I tell them, sir?
Tell them to mind their own business.
Now the voice of Tony Eden.
I hear music when I look at you. A beautiful theme of every dream I ever knew. Down deep in my heart, I hear it play. I can feel it start, then it melts away. Melody from some enchanted land. Down deep in my heart, I hear it say, is this the day? I alone have heard this lovely strain. I alone have heard this glad refrain. Must it be forever inside of me? Why can't I let it go? Why can't I let you know? Why can't I let you know the song my heart would sing? That beautiful melody of love and youth and spring. The music is sweet and the words are true.
Now, come along, gentlemen. Come on, Al. Get yourself up out of here.
Here, give us a brown ale, quick.
Here, Mr. Plum, whatever's the matter?
Oh, dear.
It's funny to see you come lurching in here at this time of night when you're generally lurching out.
I've been in hiding. I'm an hunted man, Ted.
Oh, they've been round for the rent again.
No worse than that, Ted. I got half a Savile Row after me.
What, the police?
No, the tailors.
Oh.
You know, for the last 2 days, I've been jumping at shadows.
You know.
The trouble started 2 evenings ago with Ron and Eph, as usual, absconced on the sofa in front of the fire.
Oh, Ron. Isn't it tranquil, sitting here in the firelight, seeing pictures dancing in the flames?
Yes, yes.
Ron, what pictures can you see?
I can only see one, Eth. It's a fat, red-faced man drinking beer.
That's a funny picture.
It is, Eth. It's last year's calendar.
I was thinking of imaginary pictures, Ron.
Oh. What can you see, Eth?
I can see a church and two little figures, and one of them's the bride. Who can you see?
That fat, red-faced man drinking beer. Oh, look, there's little blue flames creeping up his nose.
Oh, you've destroyed the mood. I could have sworn those two figures standing outside the church were you and me.
I don't think they were, Ed.
Why not, Ron?
We're sitting here looking into the fire. Besides, I couldn't go to church in this suit.
Oh, yes, it is a bit small for you, isn't it? Well, why don't you buy a new one?
I can't afford it.
Oh, I see. You're a bit short.
No, I'm the same height I've always been. It's the suit that's short, and I can't buy a new one because Dad takes all my dole money.
That father of yours, it's his responsibility. ability to see that you're properly dressed.
Well, he offered me one of his suits, but nothing of his fits me. Neither does anything of Mum's. So, it's this suit or nothing.
Hello, hello, hello. What a lovely picture, I must say. Have you seen the fire tongs anywhere? Mrs. Glum wants to pluck her eyebrows. If she lets them grow, she looks like George Robey. Now, on second thoughts, I don't think I'll bother with the tongs. It'll be an improvement.
Mr. Glum, I must speak to you about Ron's attire.
Well, it's got a slow puncture. I told him, I said, blow it up.
Listen to it there, please.
His clothes, his suit.
His suit? What's wrong with his suit?
Well, it is a bit old, isn't it? And anyway, green isn't Ron's colour.
It's supposed to be black, eh?
You see? Besides, it's so shiny I could comb my hair in the reflection.
I don't know why you don't take advantage of that circumstance. These shiny suits are fashionable these days. It's that new material. They call it mohawk. I don't know what you're complaining about anyway. It still fits you, don't it, Ron?
Well, Dad, it's a bit tight when I sit down.
So am I very often. You don't hear me complaining. No laughs from the little lady, I notice. Hey, can't you do a little alteration on the suit?
Well, I suppose I could knit a gusset into the back of his trousers.
Oh, no, it would only run down my leg and escape. Besides, I don't like animals.
Oh, Mr. Glum, it's no use. You've just got to buy Ron a new suit.
Oh, you gone mad? She just stands there and says it. Buy him one! What, throw £3.10 down the drain?
Some way to get Ron a suit.
Well, I suppose we could go from door to door and say we were collecting for a jumble sale. Nah, that wouldn't do.
Oh, I should think not.
Well, we've tried it too often. Well, that's how we got the one he's wearing. Oh, that was a good suit in its day. Oh, they don't wear suits like that nowadays.
I do, Dad.
Well, how old is it?
How old, she says, is that suit? Well, who knows? It's origins.
You're confused.
It's origins are shrouded in the mist of aristocracy. They are. That's philosophy for you, that is.
Well, I say, from what's left of the shape, it looks Edwardian. Yeah.
Well, there's a label inside the pocket. Maybe the date is on it. Oh, no, it just says Josiah Flitch and Son Savile Row. By appointment to Edward the VII.
Is anything else on the label?
Yes, it says, your complete satisfaction, our aim.
Ah, that gives you some idea of how old that suit is. Nowadays, they couldn't care less.
Oh, I'm not so sure, Mr. Glum. My father tells me that this class of tailor would do anything to keep their customers happy.
Would they, eh? Do anything, eh? No. Oh, I don't know. No. Well, it's worth a try. Here, Ron, it looks like you may be getting a new suit after all.
Mr. Glum, we've been standing in here for over 10 minutes and no one's come. Oh, let's go.
Now, look here, you wanted Ron to have a new suit, didn't you?
Well, yes.
Well, I'm going to get him one. It's only the atmosphere that's getting you down. This shop's more like an undertaker's than a tailor's. Oi! Anybody about?
Mr. Glum!
Oi!
Mr. Glum, you're in a Savile Row tailoring establishment, not the 4 Ale Bar.
Oh, dear, I'm very sorry if I offended your sensibilities, Ed. Shop! Oi! Anybody about?
Good day, sir. Can I be of service to us all?
Oh, I don't really know. Are you new here?
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, I am.
Good. Yeah. I got a complaint, then.
Oh, really?
My son bought a suit here, and just look at it.
Oh. I'd rather not, if you don't mind. Are you sure he bought it here for?
Yes, it's got your label inside.
Oh. And when did you say he bought it, sir?
How long you been here?
2 weeks, sir.
He bought it a month ago, then.
Oh.
Didn't you, Ron?
No, Dad.
He's quite right. I tell a lie. It was 6 weeks ago.
Oh.
Now, we're not satisfied with that suit. We think you should have another one in place of it.
Oh, Mr. Glum,
How
could you? Josiah Fletch and Sons had the highest reputation. Oh, they've never had a dissatisfied customer. You know, I don't think we could have made that suit 6 weeks ago, sir. It looks quite 50 years old.
Oh, that's the substance of my complaint, you see.
Oh, is it?
Ronnie, that's my son. Right. He just popped out for a quarter of caviar for our tea. It come on to rain, and look what's happened. If we don't get satisfaction, the name of Josiah Flitch will be spoken of with disgust in London's fashionable clubland, what I haunts regular.
Oh.
What's more, I shall picket the offices of the tailor and cutter.
Oh, well, excuse me, sir. I must get guidance from above. I'll be with you in just one moment, sir.
That shook him.
Mr. Glum, you'll never get away with it.
Oh, yes, I will. Now, my boy, what sort of material do you fancy?
Well, I like that, Dad. It's cheerful.
Oh, Ron, that's a Royal Stuart tartan. It's for a kilt.
Is it? Couldn't I have a kilt, Dad?
Don't talk wet. Well, with a kilt on, you'd look like a half-open umbrella. Oh, hello, hello. Here comes the chinless wonder again.
Oh, sorry to have kept you waiting.
Oh,
well, the managing director apologizes profusely. Asked me to say it will be our pleasure to build you a new suit. Or, if you prefer it, we will refund the money.
We'll have the money.
Mr. Clark,
I've changed my mind. We'll have the whistle.
Yes, very well. Would you mind coming over here to be measured, sir? The chest, 24. Waist, 24. Hips, 24. Arms, 24. Inside leg, 24.
Here, mister.
Yes, sir?
These trousers are too tight. Esther was going to put a ferret in them.
That's how very bizarre. All right. That's your leg measurements. Now, could we have your jacket off, sir?
I'd rather not.
Oh, come now, sir. Let me help you.
No, Mum always undresses me.
I think of
course. Well, it's all right. This is a special occasion.
Yes, there we are, sir. Oh, that's much. What an unusual way to wear your braces.
Well, he has to wear them crossed in front because of his sloping shoulders, you see. If that safety pin goes, he'll strangle himself.
The lining looks a little yellow and old.
Oh.
Doesn't look like the lining of a suit we produced 6 weeks ago, Thurman.
No, it was made long before that.
He's quite right. It was 7 weeks ago.
No, Dad.
Then, one more word out of you and I'll release that safety pin.
But I've just found another label. There's numbers on it written in ink.
Oh, well, you see there how you are, sir. That'll tell us the date it was made, won't it?
Here I am.
Perhaps we can come back later. The young lady's come over.
Just
faint.
One moment, sir. Just now, what date is it, sir?
It says here April the 1st, 1909.
Oh. So that's your game. Mr. Critchley, ring for the police.
Oh, you stupid boy. Quick, Ron, quick, run for it.
Why are we running?
Never mind, Ron. Just keep going.
Oh, I want my new suit.
You keep running, Ron, or we'll both have a new suit with broad arrows on it.
Harry Rabinowitz and the BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved are Professor Jimmy Edwards, Dick Benfey, and June Whitfield, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Tony Eden, and the Polka Dots. Eric Merriman and Barry Tooker wrote the script. Your announcer was Douglas Smith, and the show was produced by Charles Chilton.